This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a great day to die. Praise God. Would you turn to Psalm 103, please? The world celebrates Father's Day. Every day we celebrate to the Father. Psalm 103. Glory to God. Let's speak it together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, what's your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions, and imagination. It says, bless Him with it all. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all of your what? You know what chamber that is at a tabernacle? It's called the outer court. See, what he's telling us here, he says, listen, my benefits are established when you're in my tabernacle. In other words, you're in my covenant. See, it says, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. Why? Because your soul is what needs to be converted so you can be obedient. Amen? And get rid of those voices. So he says, hey, listen, here's my benefits in this conversion. First chamber is forgiveness. Who forgives all your iniquities and who what? Heals all of your what? Second chamber. Verse 4. Who what? Redeems your what? Your life from what? So you get a new life, right? Third chamber. And then what does he do? He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In other words, what's he expressing here? He says, listen, my benefits are established as you're established. Here it is. Everything revolves around my tabernacle. In other words, He is faithful to release His promises and benefits as you become faithful. He doesn't release things when we're not faithful. He's faithful to wait when you're faithless to get faithful. He's faithful to wait. And He waits and He waits until we get back in order and then we get into the arena where our soul, we begin to seek Him. See, there's so much talk. Yeah, I know the Lord. I love the Lord. But there is no action. You know, when you really seek Him with all of your heart, when you touch His heart, He touches you. When you really go after Him and you show Him, and I'm telling you again and again and again, when the Lord, before my visitation from the Lord, and I said, God, help me. And He said, do you want a new life? I had no idea what He was talking about. What He said to me is, has your desire to get off drugs and alcohol helped? No. Well, then you need to desire a new life. Oh. Yes, I desire a new life then. And then He says, show me you desire a new life. See, He was asking me to do something before He would release a promise. So you got to understand something, that when God asks you to do something, the problem is because of all the stinking voices associated with the soul. People don't hear God correctly. That's why the conversion and converting of the soul is so essential. Soul becomes one voice, one mind, and one vision. One voice, one mind, one vision. When it's established, we know what He says. That's why He says, those who know me would do great exploits. Why? Because they have one voice, and they discern the others. And that's why it's important for the converting of the soul. People think, well, I've been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years, that Jesus knows my heart and all of this. No, He's going to bring you through a process of converting the soul. If you're not willing to cooperate, you'll still be misled. Amen? in Revelation chapter 1. And of course, there'll be believers that say, I just don't believe this. And it's because they're listening to the wrong voice. You know, the Bible says this, those who believe, in other words, follow, in my name, they will do something. They will cast out devils. Well, you're not going to do that if you have multiple voices in you. You'll be more concerned about casting out your own. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick. In this conversion, and I'm telling you, God is moving mightily. He's exposing the goat because a goat is one who is rebellious. They're still doing their own thing and thinking Jesus is with them. He'll let them run. He'll wait till they die in their bed. He'll rescue them from hell then when they call out to him. But they'll stand before him. They'll be expecting all these things. He said, no, I didn't tell you to do that. No, I didn't tell you to do that. No, I didn't tell you to do that. No, I didn't. This is what I told you to do. So you're not going to get rewarded for that. Now, you only get rewarded for what God tells you to do, not what those voices tell you to do. But the Word says, yes, you can obey the Word and still disobey His voice. Has everybody got it? So what He's doing is He's bringing us to a process to where we are found faithful. Faithful. The ultimate goal of everyone is to be found faithful in the Lord. And Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9 says, and I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. So we heard a what? A voice. Right? It was the sound of a trumpet, but he heard a voice. He knew it was a voice, but even though it was the sound of a trumpet, he was able to discern that it was the voice of the Lord. And when he heard him speak, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. In other words, I am the one who begins and I'm the one who ends things. And he says to him, he says, what you what? Ah. What you see. Why? Because he heard the what? One voice. He said, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. And what he was doing was sending a message to the seven churches, the number seven meaning complete. See, you can, in the area where you want to be complete, you must become faithful. In the area where there's complete, there's called perfect. Because the word perfect means complete. In other words, when you've completed something, it's perfect. It's complete. It's done. It's finished. And then you go on. So he says, look it, you heard my voice. Now what I'm going to show you is what you are going to write to the seven churches. The letters to the seven churches is the arena to overcome. I'm going to give you words to my churches so that they can overcome. I'm going to expose them. I'm going to encourage them. And I'm going to share with them what they need to do so they can overcome, so they can be complete, perfect, and faithful. Amen. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now, Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and verse 14, it says, and to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the what? Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And because you say that I am rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, which is revelation, that you may be rich in the white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your eye, that your nakedness may not be revealed. And what? Anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may what? So that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In other words, he is the Amen. He was talking about maintaining the desire. See, when you are lukewarm, you don't maintain a desire. You're not willing to do whatever it takes. You compromise. If you are lukewarm, your desire is no longer to get in God's presence when you are lukewarm. You know, my desire, and this is me personally, is to be in God's presence. And even when I was saved, man, I went to everything that was associated with worship to get in his presence. And there were times when I knew that the Spirit would let me know that I needed to go somewhere for that night to get in God's presence. I knew there was times when I needed healing. And he would tell me, well, look, here's a place. Go here to this place tonight. And I belong to a fellowship. And I was there 3 times a week. But then there was a time when that fellowship was doing something specific. And it was, in other words, there was some other speaker or something was going on. And I knew, and I said, Lord, I need healing. And he said, I want you to go to this place. And I would go there. And all of a sudden, the preacher in this place would say, I don't know what's going on, but we're not preaching tonight. And we would just worship. And just worship. And I'd be like, yes. But I was still faithful to my covering, regardless of what. But I was still led by the Spirit. Amen? So in this, there was a desire in me. And you and I must have a desire to complete or finish. We must want to have a desire that we are recognized as the faithful. The faithful. The faithful. Because if you're recognized by God as faithful, you'll be recognized by man faithful. If you're not recognized by God faithful, you are not recognized by man faithful. Man will try to puff you up, and God tries to humble us. But there's that area where God is desiring that his children be known as faithful. Does everybody understand? Faithful. In Revelation 17. In other words, you may be faithful to all the other things, but to the presence of God. In Revelation 17. In verse 9. He said, here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. And this is the woman of Babylon, the mother of harlots. There are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen and 1 is. And these are nations or kingdoms or countries. This is not Rome, just to let you know. And there are 7 kings, 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the 8th, and is of the 7, and is going to perdition. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Of course, we know who the beast is. It's Satan's kingdom. These are of one mind, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Everyone say called,
called.
Chosen,
and faithful.
In other words, these associate also with the tabernacle again. The outer court is called, called. The holy place is associated with chosen. The most holy place is associated with faithful. In the called, that's a representation of you are invited to battle. In the called, you are invited to battle. In the chosen, you've been given a purpose to destroy Satan's kingdom. In other words, you've been given a purpose. In the area of faithful, you are faithful to fill destiny. And that, of course, is to infiltrate the world system. Is everybody okay? I'll say it again. In the called, it means you are invited to battle. When you are called, it means invited to battle. So in the outer court, you are invited to battle. That's salvation. You get a garment. You get a robe of salvation. In the chosen, which is the holy place, you are given a purpose. And that purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. In the most holy place, it's associated with faithful, complete. And in there, you are faithful to fulfill destiny. And your destiny is to infiltrate the world system. Again, the outer court is associated with the salvation garment. It's a robe of salvation. In the holy place, I call it under armor. It's priestly garments. It's the under armor that's worn under the full armor. And of course, in the most holy place where you are faithful, that is the kingly or the warrior armor. Is everybody with me? See, the demons know your armor. They know what garments you wear. They see what your position is. They know exactly what's what. Does everybody understand? They see. They know what God has placed on you. They can see it. Hallelujah. And again, in every chamber, we have the law of conversion. The law of conversion in the first chamber is to deny yourself. Amen. And that means take off the old. In the second chamber, it's to put on the new. Right? It's to pick up the cross. And the third chamber is associated with follow, which you're faithful, aren't you? In all of these things, that's the law of conversion. To deny self, pick up the cross, and follow. Is everybody okay? Today's teaching is faithful to the end. For all of you that are asking. I'm being bombarded with it here. 1 Peter chapter 4. Faithful to the end. How many of y'all know he's faithful to the end? That means you must be faithful to the end. So that you are acknowledged as faithful. So there have been many who have been called and chosen and faithful, and they've fallen back to called. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Let's speak it together. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to what? Try you. As though some strange thing happened. Hello. I can't believe it happened to me. Oh, welcome to the earth. And welcome to training for reigning. Trials and testings are to train, which is the process of oneness with Christ. In other words, he's going to bring you through all the things so he can expose your enemies, so voices can begin to be exposed, so that there is a oneness with him. His whole purpose is that you and I be one with him. So don't think it's strange when you go through trials or things happen to you. Even when you get in accidents. Hey, listen, I slammed somebody in a parking lot, you know, hello. Things happen. You may go, Lord, why me? But stuff happens. It allows you an opportunity to examine yourself a little bit deeper. Like maybe you weren't paying attention. Hallelujah. In verse 13, it says something very important. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And on their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, not as a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or Pentecost, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. For time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as a what? Faithful creator. He is faithful. It's amazing how many people suffer, but it's not according to the will of God, because they bring their own sufferings on themselves because of disobedience. Again, trials and testings and training, which is the process of oneness with Christ. He is a faithful creator. He expresses faithfulness by completing what he started, or we'd all be dead. Amen? 1 Corinthians 10. Hallelujah. Faithful to the end. First Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he what? Man, I can't tell you how many people say, how you doing? I'm okay. I want to slap that person. Slap the soul out of them. Yeah, I'm all right. Man, you can tell the fruits on them. You ain't all right. You're a mess. I'm okay. I'm all right. Yeah, I'm okay. You ain't not all right. You're not okay. You're a mess. You're out of order. You're out of divine order. And you're fighting for your life. And you can see the fruits of it. Why? Because what comes out of your mouth and your actions, your undisciplined life and your inconsistencies, that's expressed of where a person is at. So they're not all right. They think they're all right, but they ain't all right. Verse 13, it says, no temptation is overtaking you except what? Such is common to man, but God is what? Faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The thing is so many people aren't listening. They're not hearing. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get us to a place to remove that voice that causes that desire to and temptation, so that we don't stay in that same cycle every time. Because remember, the devil will put limitations on your life. That's his job. People will be going good, good, good. All of a sudden, boom. Well, I just believe this and I believe that. And, you know, they have their own belief system again. They've exchanged the belief system of God for their soulish belief system. Therefore, my beloved, flee from what? Idolatry. Flee from idolatry. And in this idolatry, it means idols. Flee from those things that interfere with the will of God, the voice of God, the purpose of God, the desire of God. Flee from those things. You know, people know. Listen, when you get up in the morning, the first things people do is their idols. You can either put God first or put Him second. If He's not first, everything associated with it is an idol. And on your day, during your day, the enemy will bring things across your path and God will stand there and wait. Okay, what are they going to do? I want to know if I'm their God or are they just blowing hot air out of their mouth. He tests us, doesn't he? He checks us. He tests us. Why? Because he's not going to release his promise until he finds you faithful. There's certain promises in each chamber. Each chamber has specific promises in the tabernacle. I'm not going to go into those today. So he assists us to overcome temptation. How does he assist us? He sends us into a place to learn. Especially when we think we know it all. Yeah, I know, I've heard that before. Well, why, you haven't gotten it yet. Why aren't you doing it yet then? I'm glad you heard it over and over and over. You're still not doing it. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8, let's start at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become what? Oh, hallelujah. So does God desire you to be rich? Yeah. But you're not going to get rich according to your standards, your way, or your plan. It's going to be his. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That's called faithful. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. In other words, when you are considered faithful to the end, that desire stays there to do it. To do it. You know, people have a desire to make money, and they are faithful to go to all kinds of stuff to get money. But faithful to get the things of the Lord, they're not faithful. Not faithful. And they spend more time trying to get money instead of get God's presence. Oh, hallelujah. So there must be that desire to complete. In verse 12. For if there is a what? First a what? Willing mind. So you must take dominion and set the voices aside that try to mislead you and set that mind of what you promised already or what the vow was or what the covenant was. Because you know how many times people go, oh Lord, get me out of this and I'll do this. Oh Lord, help me. I'll do whatever it takes. Just show me. He helps the person, but the person doesn't fulfill, doesn't complete. And then what he helped them with, they lose because they didn't stay in divine order. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. Has everybody got this? It's important that we have a desire to complete with a willing mind, no matter what it is. You know, most of the time, most people haven't completed anything God's given them. In fact, most people, when God asks someone to do something, they don't complete it. You know, the Lord sets somebody free and whatever, and then they, I'm good now. I know Jesus. Me and you, Lord, all the way. And then, well, Lord, where are you? Well, what happened? I thought it was me and you. No. You wanted me to live in your life, but I'm not going to. You're going to live in mine. See, you started when you were humble. You came in my life. But then you began to walk away from my life and began to do your own thing and calling it me. And it wasn't me. So now the blessings that I gave you have now become a curse. And now you're fighting to maintain them. One, if they were from me and you were in my order, you wouldn't have to fight to maintain them. I would be protecting it. But you chose to do your will and your way. So go ahead. Go ahead and fight for your life instead of surrender it. Go ahead and live the life, whatever you want. Continue to fight. But I'm not in it. I'll be waiting for you, but I'm not in your life. You're in my life. And until you begin to complete an area, see, one of the things the Lord is trying to do is get us through the process so that not only we abide in Him, but He abides in us. And that process is maintained and continued. It doesn't stop. It's all the way through. See, there's a point in time where an individual then, when they begin to stop maintaining, they walk away from God and don't even know they walked away from God. Then that familiar spirit comes and takes over. All right, come on, let's go. I'll pretend I'm God, and you can just listen to me, and I'll direct you. Don't worry, I'll puff you up a little bit. I'll encourage you. Colossians chapter 2. Don't worry about it. I've come to steal, kill, and destroy. Yes, I'll take your finances. I'll destroy your marriage. I'll take all your possessions. And I'll turn it over to Satan's kingdom. Hello? I'll destroy everything you have. It's okay. I got you covered. That's what the familiar spirit says. But I'll keep encouraging you to go this direction. As far away from God as possible. See, people don't realize that even when they're calling on Jesus and they're doing all of these religious things, that the most important thing God is requiring is that you know His voice and obey His voice. That's the number one thing. Oneness is what He desires. Oneness. Colossians verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 9, I think. Yes. Ooh. Let's go to verse 8. Let's speak it together. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him what? Dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. And you are what? Complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in Him. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made not without hands, but by putting off the body of what? The sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith, in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made alive together with Him, having forgiven your trespasses. having wiped away the handwritten writing requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. In other words, he made the exchange for me and you. But if there's not cooperation, the exchange isn't maintained. Does everybody got it? In other words, he's waiting. Come on, I did this. I got it all for you. Why do you keep doing your thing? So that process of converting the soul again is to remove these goofy voices. Because we're complete in him. See, he already sees me and you complete. The problem is those voices don't see you complete. The voices of emotion, the voices of imagination, the voices of thoughts, the voices of things you see, the voices of other people, the voices of false prosperity. Amen? In other words, he's looking for me and you. We're complete in him. It's time for him to be complete in us. If we're complete in him, it's time for him to be complete in us. And too many people refuse his completion. They think, I'm completed in you. And he's going, listen, man, there's more to it than that. I paid the price for everything for you. You're complete in me. Now let me be complete in you. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. He wants to be complete in us by converting the soul to one voice. One voice. Amen? James 1. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Tuesday, we're going to talk about the process of going through with specific prayers. I was going to do it today, but I was led in another direction. James chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? That's endurance, isn't it? And let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? Oh, hallelujah. The purpose of converting to one voice is to be complete. So we're lacking nothing. And so that we are acknowledged as faithful. Remember, in the conversion, there are three levels of conversion: good, acceptable, and perfect. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Each chamber has its good, acceptable, and perfect conversion. Too many people only go good and go into the next chamber. And they're always going back and having to finish. See, because they promote themselves, God doesn't. He waits for the complete to go to the next, complete to go to the next. Good, acceptable, and perfect or complete. Three levels of conversion, three chambers of the tabernacle. In John 17... John 17 and verse 11. And Jesus is praying. He says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, which is the presence of evil or the voice of the the evil one. They are not of the world just as I am not of the world. Are you of the world?
No.
Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So he's praying for the rest of them, all of us. That they all may be what? One. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. In other words, he's wanting to get all of these voices out to bring one voice for one vision, one sight, so that what we hear, we see. Again, faith is not blind. Faith comes by hearing. When I saw God, you see, then you do. Has everybody got it? Too many people hear but don't see and do because it's not the Lord. That we may be what? One. In Matthew 26. Matthew 26. In verse 36. 26, 36. Let's speak it together. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. In other words, he was fighting, wasn't he? He was fighting. What was he trying to do? His soul was screaming because of all the influence around him. Remember, he put on flesh. He put on a soul, didn't he? So all the associates, everything in the natural realm was coming against him. And he came to fulfill. He came to die. He came to die, so he was exceeding. He said, my soul, I've got to fight. In other words, I've got to die here. I've got to complete. Remember, he came to complete. His soul was trying to prevent him from completing. Is everybody all right? And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and what? Fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as what? You will. Where's your will located? In your soul. Where's your thoughts located? In your soul. Where's your feelings located? And where's your imagination located? Soul. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Do you think maybe he got a little discouraged? Maybe felt a little rejected? Man, don't you know what I've done for you guys? Do you know what I'm about to do for you? Can't somebody help me? Can you at least pray with me? Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour, man? Don't I tell you, my soul, all of these voices that are hindering my soul, I'm going to bust this through. I'm being attacked in every area. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, he said. Again, the second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink of it, your will be done. He just passed the first chamber, went into the second. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. But remember, he's faithful to the end. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. What was he doing? He was making confession, hitting, going through each place, each place. And he came to his disciples and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." In other words, he overcame. You know, the Bible says that while he prayed, he sweat blood. He sweat blood because the fight was so intense. He prayed, he went through. He had to go through the three levels of conversion. He had to go through each chamber. See, but he had to go through three other... Listen, what started in the Garden of Eden, he had to finish in the Garden of Gethsemane. What started in the fall of man from the tree, he was going to finish it on a tree. Does everybody understand? Because he's faithful to the what? To the end. Oh, yes. John 19. He says, "I am the beginning and I am the end." John 19. And also in the garden, when the angel was sent to shut off the tree of life, he restored a tree of life. Because he's faithful to the end. And he's expecting us to be faithful to the end. It's not just about abiding him. It's becoming complete so he abides in us. Complete. John 19 and verse 28. "And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on the hyssops, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.'" Sour wine representing taking on the sins of man. "And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." It is finished. What he came to start, he completed. In Matthew 5. It is finished. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 17. And let's start at 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then no good for nothing, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." That means the enemy has access. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men." That light will not shine before men unless Christ is complete in you. "That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." See, they may see works, but they know it's you and not God. Verse 17. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill the law of conversion. Deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow. so that he would be the example for me and you. So everybody got it? The law of conversion is what he came to fulfill. He fulfilled the old law in exchanging the old law and bringing the new law and fulfilling it, because he can't give something to me and you he hasn't done. Has everybody got it? And I'm going to close at Hebrews 13. So it's time to stop the foolishness and the soulish ministry and get into the Spirit and become complete in Him so that He can become complete in you. In verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Oh. Working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And everybody said amen. Praise God. So in this, faithful to the end. He was faithful to the end. We must be faithful to the end so that he's complete in us. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Let this seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. And grant us the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the thirst and hunger and the desire and a willing mind to complete, that we be known as the faithful in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.